Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to do part two of Dash. Just a quick review of what we saw last week. So last week you saw Rabbeinu Chanan out in source one, who basically says that it's so let me ochel, and that you are removing solat from ochel. That is mechub baras, baras, right? That's connected. Because again, we want to demonstrate that it's different than borer. And so I guess if you want to know that borer is separating, you're separating bad from good. So here you're also separating. However, these are connected. These are attached. And it is the precursor to borer. And I think we said, if I'm not mistaken, last week, we are, you know, when it comes to borer, you are metaking the food. You already have food, you're metaking it. Whereas here, when it comes to dash, you're not metaking food, you're almost creating the food. You don't have the food, right? No one would say to me, no one would say, here's a husk with a kernel inside. It's not food, it's not edible, it's on a stage, it's edible, it requires tikkun, it requires a sense of a fix, requires something creative, an act, in order to really have your food. So it's a precursor to food, it's the creating of food, as opposed to fixing the food. So you're creating the food, you're mechadesh the food, you're nasa ha'ochel, and that's, I think, what you're doing, and you're me, as opposed to metakin. So you're mechin ochel versus metakin ochel. I think we said that last week. So that's the, and again, there's a notion of guf echad, it's one entity, right? And that's also dash, and that's Rabbeinu Chanan. Rashi in source number two really focuses on extracting. And he again uses our example of chitin b'machteshet lahasir klipatan, and kind of focusing on the peel, the shell that's around it. He kind of reiterates that also in source number three. And then we had to deal with our Gemara that we saw before. And again, in source number five, Rashi says, mefarek tevua mishibaleha. You're mefarek. You are extracting. You're removing this tevua mishibaleha. You're extracting the tevua from its husk. And again, he says, right, la'akor davar mim komo. You're uprooting something from its source. Tosfos seems in number six to really highlight this klipa, this type of shell, and that's mefarak at the klipa mina tamarim. When you launch your ball, your 90 plus mile an hour fastball, your clump of mud at this tree, you are causing the tamarim, this bundle, to fall. And what ends up happening is that mefarak at the klipa mina tamarim, and its shell kind of is removed. And again, from the question that we kind of ended with last week, and that was number seven, was that it's the run who highlights removing the cluster. What's his language here? Last line in the run, Chayav Wai Mishum Tolesh. So here it's almost like you're removing it from its cluster. And even Rashi in 8, Hanotek davar mim makom shegidalbo velo min hamachubar ela min atalush, seems to be suggesting that how do you matir taking a grape from its vine, meaning on Shabbos, how are you able to take a grape? Because it seems to be, both the Ran in 7 and even Rashi in 8, I thought Rashi doesn't say this earlier from Mefarek, could be because he was talking about, when he talks about Mefarek in 3, he doesn't mention it, but here at least he highlights, Hanotik davar mimakom shigidabo. They're removing something where it grew. The question is, if that's true, is that kotzer? It's a very odd definition. So the difference is that if kotzer is that it's attached to the ground, here it's already been detached from the ground. So when I eat my grapes, I think most people, there's like fancy grapes that you just find grapes in a bag or something. Most people, when you eat grapes, they're so connected to it's like vine, right? Not like the big vine that's connected to the tree, but it's detached. So that would not be kotzer because it appears it needs to be connected to the ground. But still, why wouldn't that be? So Rashi seems to suggest, and the Ran seems to suggest, that if you're separating something, that maybe it's considered tolada didash. And that's what Rashi here says. It's mefarek tevua mi kashiyah. Maybe that's similar to when you remove tefua from his husk. So this is going to cause a little bit of problems from halacha lemaisa, and that's kind of what I want to deal with today. That was the introduction. What?
Removing the grape from its detached vine is not a...
I know, so that's what's so interesting, because Rashi seemed to highlight before that you need to... And that's why I kind of, you know, for me, I understand, Rechanan and Rashi earlier on, you know, nice definition, you're extracting from the klipa, and that I understand with the mefarag. I mean, something which is not edible, and now you're removing it, and all of a sudden, you separated the edible from the non-edible. And how did you do that? Not your borer, but it's connected, it's attached, there's a peel. So if I have, let's say, a banana, so it's not edible in the state that it's in, so by removing the banana peel, you know, why is that mefarag? It's totally not edible. You cannot eat a banana with a peel over it. At least humans don't. I don't know if animals do.
Monkeys
don't. Monkeys peel it? Okay, so there you go. Monkey see, monkey do, right? So, any, you know, there's any animal that just eats it the way it is? Well, some animals don't have the ability to peel it. You need, like, dexterity, right? Okay, I don't know. I'm not so sure. All right, definitely think of bananas, think of monkeys. I wonder if that's even true. Besides, like, the zoo and, like, movies and stuff, do monkeys really eat bananas?
They do? I researched.
Oh, really?
Well, I was also skeptical about monkeys eat bananas, and they do.
They do? Okay. Yeah, okay. Seems like one of those, like, those, like, Hollywood myths or something, like video myths, because they make good videos, but okay, I guess anybody's there. What was it? So I would have thought, at least, that we need to figure out, because again, it appears from... No, earlier sources, 1, 2, 3, 5, you know, even 6, that taking a grape off of vine shouldn't be a problem. Yet the Ran in 7 and Rashi in 8, might, you could argue that that would be an issue. And why is it that having a banana is permissible? Why is it that you could remove the peel from the banana? Isn't that the same as removing your wheat from the husk? Right? What's the difference between them? You know, there's no difference. One is, it's mechubar, it's connected. There's a klipa, there's a surrounding. Why is one, I mean, I think, you know, I like bananas. Bananas are really good. Especially this time of year when your fruit selection is you know, not as, shall we say,
fruitful.
Yes, that's a good way of explaining it, right? Good. What's the word I'm looking for? Robust. Not as robust. Or at least not economically viable. Right. You can probably get every fruit all year round, but it's just that you're going to pay, you know, 4 times the price and this time of year than you will in the summer. So again, and the quality wouldn't be that good. So the question is, how is it we could remove a banana from its peel? Why is that any different than removing the wheat from the husk? Is it the same thing? Right? And that's like the... Okay. So, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 9. Because here it talks about nuts. Now, let's talk about halachic nuts, and let's talk about not halachic nuts. So halachic nuts are things like walnuts and almonds. And then we have non-halachic nuts. It's true, there's not even nuts at all. And those, are, of course, peanuts, right? Peanuts, of course, are issue of kidney on Pesach, and regular nuts are not. Although I do, someone once told me that there are Hasidim who don't have nuts on Pesach because it's like peanuts or something. I don't know. Or because you could take almond and make almond flour, which I think does exist.
I mean, like, potatoes,
even.
Like,
what?
You do that with potatoes, too.
Like, right, potato, yeah.
Hasidim also don't wear gloves when it's cold outside, so maybe take that with a grain of salt.
Wait, is that really true?
Yeah, they don't mind. Like, if it's minus 30, because they still consider wearing the gloves as carrying on Shabbos.
Oh, that's interesting. So, actually, it does say not allowed to wear a hat if you don't carry, because the word that'll get blown off and you'll come to carry it. So, how do you wear a hat? Any type of hat on Shabbos? What? Cape.
No, tape.
Oh, tape. I'm sorry, my head's into capes because we had like a comic guy at the bite. So my head's into capes. And he said a talus is like a superhero cape. It's actually a really good speaker. Ah, yeah, sure. what was that? That was totally... oh, because you said tape and I said, heard the word cape. So actually, I heard in the name of Shlomo Miller that even though he doesn't hold really by the Erev, he feels the Erev is good enough that he can still wear a hat. Because that's already only the Rabbanan. Shema, it'll fall off, and Shema, you'll pick it up and carry it. So he says the Erev is good enough to allow you to do that. Yeah, it's like, he doesn't love the Erev, he can't say it's nothing, but he says it's something, he wouldn't hold by it, but for this, the hat, that's what I... That's what but he hold... Right. Yeah, very good. That's what I once heard. Okay, so... Let's go through walnuts, almonds, and peanuts. You'll see why this is going to be important. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and again, I just didn't include the whole siman, but I think I was able to distill parts that would be helpful for us. He says the Rama, Lachain, asur lefarek egozim luzim, o egozim gedolim. So when I first read this, I'm like, I have no idea. First, okay, well, let's translate. What's an egoz? A walnut. So an egoz, I know what a walnut is, but what in the world is egozim luzim? Meaning, is that different than a regular walnut? Or egozim dolim? What are egozim? What does that mean? Like Chernobyl ones? Like what does it mean? Like what is egozim dolim? What is that referring to? Right? So I was a little bit thrown off, I'm not going to lie. So I need to figure out, and 500 years ago, when the Rama said, these items, what are they referring to? So I saw somewhere who said, no, it's trying to make a... So apparently, egozim, luzim, is talking about from Lashon Laz, and it's what's typically known as walnuts. So, whereas egozim, dolim, are referring to more like almonds. That's what I saw somewhere in... So I said it was translated somewhere.
Everything gedolim are almonds?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I thought was...
They're smaller walnuts.
What? What's bigger?
Walnuts.
Walnuts are bigger?
Than almonds?
I don't know. Maybe it's flipped. Maybe it's... I don't know. That was the... There's no English translation here, is there? The, you know the English Mishabura? English Rama? Oh, they have. Can you check online? On,
it's on Safari, I'm looking around.
Does Safari have that translated? No? Is that in English over there? I see there. Is that in are those English Mishabura? Yeah, they are. Yeah, if you don't mind.
They don't have the full set?
Maybe they'll take a look there, see if they have it. Okay. It was just a very odd, I was very bothered, but by this. What exactly are the types of nuts that the Rama is referring to? Yeah, you think about, you know, what type of nuts did they have 100 years ago in Poland? Is essentially what we got to figure out. What did they eat? Not many. They did not have many options of, you know, in Poland. Rama lived in Krakow. He went to the Rama Shul, his cemetery. So, you know. What?
It was very cold when I went.
Yeah, I also went. It was freezing. It was end of March. Do they have it there? Okay. I'm curious how they translate it. Simon Shin Yud Tet, 319:6. You have to flip a lot of pages. Do they translate Shulchan Aruch too? Or they do?
Yep, okay. Therefore, it is forbidden to separate hazelnuts.
Hazelnuts?
Or large nuts.
Or what?
Or large nuts.
See? They were also confused. They didn't know what it was. Hazelnuts.
Hazelnuts are large nuts.
What's the difference between hazelnut and walnut? Are they very similar? Aren't hazelnuts sweeter? Hazelnuts are in chocolate, right? Aren't they a little bit sweeter?
Like
but those fancy chocolates, right? Acorn sizes, they're much smaller.
Yeah.
Well, those are bigger, and they're also not as symmetrical, right? That they're like funny shaped.
Yeah, yeah. In
Inside, they're funny shaped, right? They're like these random shapes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't see... Do you see walnuts in chocolate? But you do see hazelnuts in chocolate. Hazelnuts in chocolate is very common. I mean, very common. It's common.
Have some walnuts in here.
Oh, there you go. You brought walnuts. Any hazelnuts in there?
Almonds, cashews, and walnuts.
There you go. Right, cashews, there's no way they had cashews in Poland. No, cashews are much later. I don't know. So, how do you say cashews in Hebrew?
I think it's cashew. Isn't it a cashew?
So I didn't realize that. So I guess egozim could be, you're saying in Hebrew, egozim could be a walnut or a hazelnut? Cashew is cashew? Oh man, that's so, by the way, that, what does that prove? When anytime Hebrew does that, what does that mean?
It wasn't
there before. Yeah, I had no idea. It didn't exist. It was discovered later.
Tropical.
Right, tropical, no?
Related to mango.
Right, mangoes are tropical. Oh, the truth is, why don't they grow in Israel then? They don't grow in the Middle East? Cashews don't grow in the Middle East?
They're super expensive in Israel, I can tell you that.
I mean, they're super expensive everywhere.
No, they're much cheaper here than Israel.
Oh, really? So if they're very, very, if that means they don't grow in Israel. Or anywhere nearby. I mean,
Africa, India,
Brazil. What, cashews?
Yeah.
Okay. So not, wow, it's funny, they're not indigenous at all to the Middle East or the region. Nothing. Whereas walnuts and hazelnuts are?
And large nuts.
What?
And large nuts.
And large nuts, right. Egozim dolim? I don't know. Okay, I'm not so sure. But egos already is quite well known, whereas cashews are not. Okay, back to our topic. So, says the Rama, let's go, how would everybody mefarek these nuts? Right? So what does he say? Mitoch klipatan. Now look at the language he says. When he says they're klipatan, he says klipatan hayeruka. Now, last night, I intentionally wanted to show you. These are almonds. I decided to use almonds because the truth is it doesn't really matter because all nuts grow very similar. When you have an almond, there's two different shells. That's the actual fruit. Mm-hmm. That's, you see how the outer shell?
Yep.
So, these are one, there you go. These are the green things. That's, so when you talk about egozim, when you talk about, let's say, hazelnuts, you have walnuts? Okay, walnuts. So again, you have the same thing here. Hazelnuts, you have this green outer shell, right? And then, what do you have there? Walnuts?
Yeah.
How did people learn Gemara before this, right? Okay, there we go. So you have the outer shell, the green outer shell, and then the fruit is inside. Now, once you have the green, you then have this very hard shell, and then you need, so there's two different covers to it, right? That's going to be very important. You have the green, the hard, the fruit. So what is the Rama saying here? What's asur to be lifrok? The question is, why does the Rama say that to separate it from his green is asur? That seems to imply that to separate it from its brown is mutter. I don't understand why. Why is one... By the way, this simon talks about dash, or talks about mefarek, right? It talks about mefarek. So why is it that one is mutter, the other is usher? Isn't it the same thing? Meaning?
The ability to eat it in terms of the steps. So if you have like two layers before.
Okay, interesting. So Ellie wants to suggest that there's a difference between it not, doesn't have to do with the act, it maybe has to do with intent. Right? So, what fascinating is the Eglay Tal seems to say that svar. Look at 11. We'll come back to 10 in a minute. 10 is going to be like really important. And not that 11 isn't. So he goes like this. Ein hefresh ben she'ochel adayin ha'imuchubar. That's hard to read. I think the psolet or psolet. Umin she'ayakvar menutak ma'psolet. Rak she'psolet hayami kif. Alav. Umunach ha'ochel betochel yesh be'er mishum dash. Yerali. Here we go. This is our case. She'im hayashtei klipot. So our case is we have both the green and the brown. Mekifina to ochel. I cover the food. Who perek klipa chitzona v'adayi nishar pnimit v'ein lo tzorach klau b'klipa pnimit sh'teya odima ochel patur ledat rova poskim v'lo od ela filu adash tfua k'dei letochen atekef en ochav mishum dash kevan sh'adayi nishar ha'suvan sh'af agav atfua chagabet tfua meaning, what the Eglital seems to suggest is it's about intent. So if I have a special cover, where are you doing that green cover? Is generally, when you remove it, you don't really eat it right away. What are you doing? There's, when you remove that outer shell somewhere, right? Now, even though you don't like this klipa pnimit, right? But by removing that,
it seems opposite. Yeah.
If right, he says, if you're gonna if you're gonna remove that outer shell right away, he says it's mutter to do. Meaning, if that middle shell is just seen as a, you see what he says here? That in lo tzorach klal pnimit, I don't need that outer. If I remove that green shell, it could even be permissible. Why? Because as long as I'm not in a rotzah lahachnis atfua lotzar, as long as I'm not looking to store it. So what Eli seemed to say was it's for immediate consumption. It seems that if you want to eat your walnut or any one of your nuts immediately, you'd be allowed to even remove the green. As long as you're not going to store it somewhere.
Sounds like you're only moving out of it, no?
Right. You don't have any need for that middle. Meaning, you know, it's not there because you want to store it, or it's not there because you want to, but maybe you'll eat it. Maybe you'll separate it in another second. It's not like it has a real functional purpose. It's kind of like you're peeling away two different, like, you know, it's like, it's almost looked upon as a person who wants to eat only the yolk of an egg. Okay, there's a one chunk, and that, to me, that white, to me, what? The white part of an egg. The yolk. No. The shell. No. Like,
Egg white.
Is there a name for an egg white? Just egg white? Okay. No, that's chamon and chalbon. That's like the. But if I want to remove the egg white, is looked upon the same maybe as the brown outer shell of a nut. I mean, it's just there just to. In lo tzorech. Right? So it's not mefarek. So we see here that the Eglei Tal seems to highlight this concept of immediate use, as opposed to Ein Arasa L'Hachnis HaTfua La'Otzar. So if you want to eat it immediately, the Eglei Tal seems to suggest you could even go and crack open that husk to eat the Tfua immediately. And if you take a look later on, right, he goes on to say, Mishum Dash, Hu Adin Da Kolev Chitin B'Yad. Af shekfar nitparku mashibulim erev Shabbos chayav mishum dash. However, and this is what he also says, there's a problem. Why? Because if you are kolif chitin, I mean you're peeling away wheat with your hand, even though you removed it from the shibulim before Shabbos, so you've cut it. Nonetheless, he says, you're chayav mishum dash. What's going on here? Chayav mishum dash. Mikom akam mutar liklov shumin ubitzalin. You're allowed to peel shum garlic and onions and nuts. Bein klipa kasha ke'etz uben klipa hadaka shelifnimi mena kedei lechol le'alter. So here we go. Here he says it again. He says, I'll tell you what's going on here. You want to remove shells on Shabbos? Outer shells might even be permissible if it's lechol le'alter. You ever remember the expression? You know, le'alter lechem tovim, right? Alter is not referring to a guy called Alter, although I did know someone called Alter, right? Alter means miad, like Alter l'chaim tovim is now, right? It should be, that's like an expression that's used on, when do we say it, Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah,
that's
like
right?
You shouldn't wait till Kippur, right?
By the way, that we say in the morning, right? The morning of Rosh Hashanah. The night we don't say that. The night we have this whole long, that ends with Alter l'chaim tovim, right? Shana Tova, Techatev, Techatem, Altul Chaim Tovim. No, is that the expression?
Yeah, the first
night of Rosh Hashanah. First night of Rosh Hashanah. We don't do the second night of Rosh Hashanah because it was already done, right? That's like the. But regardless, my point is that we see here that he seems to suggest that if you want to eat it right away, you'd even be allowed to remove the green cover of your net. That's what he seems to suggest. Now, what about using a nutcracker? Do people even know what a nutcracker is? Have you ever seen a nutcracker?
Never used one.
You've used a nutcracker? So nutcrackers were like these that grandparents had on these like tables with nuts in them, and a nutcracker sat inside there. You weren't allowed to touch growing up. That was like what a nutcracker was. Like these like fancy, you know what I mean? So, could use a nutcracker on Shabbos. Forget the whole, you know. So, is this a machlokas Ramah and Egletal? What's the svara of the Egletal? What's the svara of the Ramah? What's the machlokas between? How do they view Mefarei differently? Why all of a sudden is the Egletal willing to give a license to do it? And the Ramah is a little much more reluctant, totally reluctant. Where's my nutcracker? Could you use a nutcracker on Shabbos? We know, and you're familiar with this, you're not allowed to use a borer item on Shabbos, right? You can't use a sieve on Shabbos. You can't use a slotted spoon or fork on Shabbos. Could be problematic under certain conditions. So could you use a nutcracker on Shabbos? Or could you use a hammer? Let's say I don't have a nutcracker. I'm not a fancy guy.
That's the classic case of
Malach Hashanah. Right, the case that, that's a Gemara, yeah, that everyone talks about is you're allowed to use a klisha Malach Deliser for Dover Heter. If you want to open up your nut, you're not a fancy guy, you don't have a nutcracker, but you have a hammer. Because you think that you're Jew, you think that you're Italian. Tuesday, right? So you have a classic hammer to pretend that when you bang on the sukkah, look what I can do, right? Look at me. I'm a handy guy, right? So are you allowed to use a hammer to crack open a nut? But that is the case. That are, so you're allowed to. But why are you allowed to? Why are you allowed to use a hammer on Shabbos to open a nut, to crack open a nut, when you're not allowed to use a kli to do borer? Okay, I will hand my Shabbos if I have my, I don't know, fish. Right, whatever, from the bones. Right? What's going on here? So, let's read 10, please. Here we go. 10. Wait, is this Shin Yotet Siv Katan Chavtalin Shin Kavtet? Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah is going on that Chavtalin, okay? Just to put it in context. Klipatana Yurika, green, this cover. Here we go. Dezed mi kimitoch hashibulin. Dami, sorry, kimitoch hashibulin. This is like compared to what's inside this larger husk. Aval. Le kule alma muto lishpor klipa kasha. You're allowed to crack open, let's use the brown klipa, the brown shell. Vili klof and tapio. Gama klipa daka shale goes. So there's also like a thin membrane
on the peanut. They have it.
Oh, so this is referring to like a thing about like a very good, like the outer shell of a peanut. That's a good example,
the,
right?
The inner shell of a peanut.
What?
The, like
Penis is going to be, we'll see penis in a second. You know that penis have this like film over it?
Yeah.
Right, that you have to like just push off? So I guess egozim have them too? I don't know, so sure. Right, like a shell of a chickpea. Good example. As it says, fine. So, luzim ubotnim shenishtabru v'dayin hemakli batan. What about these nuts? But what are botnim?
Peanuts.
Peanuts are botnim. So you have a peanut, and they were already they were broken. What do you mean they are broken, but they're still in their klipaton? What does that mean?
You smash them up, now they're sitting in a pile.
You're right. So I'm telling you, peanuts, although you don't, they're not sold as that common this way anymore. When I was growing up and you had peanuts, you often bought them in their shells. Yeah. Now I think most peanuts are purchased that you could just grab them and eat them. Right? Like, when you go to a store, they're canned. Right? Peanuts have become canned. Too, there's a lot of nuts that have become canned.
Oh, yeah, those cans, right?
Right?
It's about like 2
or in bags.
Often by 2 kilograms.
What?
Peanuts. You can buy in bags, yeah.
Right. Now, it used to be, in the olden days, you bought them with their shells on them, but the different ones, they weren't flavored. Because they're covered in their big husk by flavor. It won't penetrate inside. But now we want to make them salty, we want to make them spicy, we want to make them sugar-coated, right? They make them sugar-coated today, right? You tell it any breakfast, right? So that's the, you know, people get, but now, by the way, you're going to see there's going to be a nafka mina. I'll tell you the nafka mina in a second. Actually, not in a second, at the end. But he says there's a small film that you can remove. That's not a problem. But what about if you've cracked these nuts, they're broken, but they're still like in their klipas. Mashma divrei ha prima gadim and this simon she yesh li zayr livor ocha mitocha klipa v'lo lehefach. Right? Meaning this is a bor issue because you're separating out from there. Meaning it can't be a mepharic issue because they're already cracked open. Right? So it's a bor issue. V'afilu shidato lecho miyad eat it. Again, you see here, see this language of the Ramah? Even going to eat it right away.
That's
not about Borah,
though.
Oh, Mishum Borah, because it's a Borah issue. Come on and see. 5:10. If you have Magen Avraham, B'Shem Hayom Shor Shlomo, the Dvar Zeh, Shekolef, Aklip, Amen. Bechlau Tikuna Ochlahu. Flo Shach, B'Rei Rabbezeh, Avshah, Kashalav, Magen Avraham, Dvar Zeh, Shefan. Again, so we see here, again, there's this concept, by the way, of borer is also the idea of eating it miyad. So what's going on here? Miyad and breaking it open. And so there are those who want to suggest that if we go back to our definition and we say that mafarik or dash is all about the Isser Doraisa, where is this done? This is done not to mitakein ochel, but rather this is done to mechin ochel. And where are you mechin ochel? You are generally mechin ochel in the sada, in your field. And therefore, if you are doing a field-like action, and generally you do things on the field, you don't eat things right away from the field. From the field that goes to your oats are, from your field that goes to be stored. And then once it's stored, you'll ship it, you'll deliver it, you'll do whatever you want. So anything that's done in the field, that's dash, that's mafarik. But if you're doing an action in your house, that you're eating right away, that's not mefarik. In many ways, that's metakin ochel. Metakin ochel is not a mefarik issue. Metakin ochel is basically some subn under a borer like, and this isn't borer. So I can use a hammer to crack open a nut because I'm doing it in my house. I'm doing it to eat right away. La'alter miyad. And that's not mefarik. Mefarik is something that is done in the field that you're going to store, that you're not going to eat right away. Because I'm not being metakin ochel with classic mefarik. Which is why the Mishnah Berurah almost says, even though he's talking about mefarik and dash, since it's in my house, I have to bring up borer, because that's where borer is done. Borer is not done in the field, borer is done in my house. Okay? So it seems like one of the terim we know of borer, you need to eat it miyad. Even if you're borer orchal from solat, you still need to eat it miyad. You're not allowed to do borer, even good from bad, and then not eat it to store. Because it needs to be done in the kitchen, it needs to be done by eating right away. And so I think that maybe is what's going on in this battle of the egg lay tal wants to tell us, as Mishnah Berurah seems to pick up on, that when the Rama says you're not allowed to remove their husks, where is that? Maybe that's referring to being done in the field. That's why it says usher to do. So perhaps that's what. Now again, that's why you're allowed to use a nutcracker, because a nutcracker or a hammer. How could you use a nutcracker? That's clear. It's designated to no. It's not designated for anything else, sir. Walnut, cracking a walnut is permanently permissible. What about mefarek? It's not mefarek, because those things are done in your house. Doing in your house can't be mefarek. Now, there's a chumrah, and this is what the Shevet Alevi says, you're not allowed to crack open peanuts on Shabbos. Why? Because he says times have changed. Where are most peanuts cracked open?
In the factory.
No one does it anymore. The vast majority. Take a look at peanut sales worldwide. So baseball games are still sold in their classic bags, right? With the covers around them. And the part of the mitzvah is to throw it on the floor. Right? So, there you go. But that's rare. Besides baseball games, most people do not purchase peanuts with their husks on them. So the Shevet Alevi says, today, where do you remove the husks? No one does it in their house anymore. Now it's turned into Malacha Shebesada, the factory, the fields. No one removes the husks in your house and eats them right away. He says, that's out of favor. So he says, cracking open a peanut from his husk, Bizman Hazel, could be problematic, as opposed to a walnut, that's what everyone does. Interesting. Now, the truth is, if you take a look at, there's a major, not surprised by this, today, very few people are now purchasing even walnuts with their covers on, because it's a big pain to crack open. Right? If you go now to Sobeys, you go now to Nofer, you go to most stores. Now, I agree. These are upper class stores. These are, right? Most places, you want to open up a package and eat. No one wants to open up a package. Go give me a nutcracker. I mean, your kid wouldn't know what you're talking about. I need a nutcracker and nuts. They have no idea what that means. Right? You need to have, like, it's. So, in many ways, all nuts are heading in that direction. Clearly, they're heading in that direction. Because we want a society that's instantaneous. We don't want to, bananas are still bananas and oranges because they're soft and they'll break. But anything which is hard and can be very easily packaged and doesn't get bruised, like nuts are the classic example, they're heading in that direction. So it could be maybe one day, not so far from now, maybe even walnuts and hazelnuts and almonds that you would need to crack open, maybe one day that'll also turn into a Malacha Shebesada, a Malacha Shebe factory, that'd be problematic.
I think it's too late. Like, when was the last time you cracked
a walnut? I bet you my kids could not identify a walnut with a shell husk over it.
Even
almond there. What? Who has almonds? You have to remove the husk. It doesn't exist. Your parents would never buy it. It's a pain, right? First of all, again, most of them are, even besides the ones that are salted or roasted or sugar-coated, even regular ones are canned or packaged. They're all ready to go. Yeah. Why is it just, that's a society today, right? Consumption, fast, quick.
You could probably find a lot of these nuts still with their shell on it, places like Boston or something.
Right.
Brazil nuts that are still in their shell and a variety of nuts that were still in their shell. But
right.
It's like niche.
Right, that's a niche, right. Rare, I agree. I think what Jay is saying is right, that those are like, those days are disappearing. I should try that experiment. Ask if my kids could identify, like, even a walnut, which is a very identifiable shell. I'm not sure they could identify what type of nut it is. So there you go. I'm just looking at my wife. I'm going through my pantries. There's no way she'd ever buy it. Because you want to cook with it or put it into a salad or eat it, you don't want to. Okay? So okay, maybe we have to come up with this Shevet Halevi says about peanuts. Maybe you have to say it's almost. We think it's almost true, or is true already for other nuts. Do you remember last time you cracked open a nut? No.
Pistachios.
Okay. Pistachios are a little. Although you can buy, those are really expensive. But they do sell pistachios that are already open, but they're not your eye cream. You still, it's like a mitzvah, like you put a cup, it's like part of like the Shabbos experience, is that crack. Then you get with mukzah issues, but you also dump it. Sunflower seeds are still, right. What do they chew in baseball games? Sunflower seeds? What do they see baseball players here? Sunflower seeds, right? But you see, here's the difference. A sunflower seed, you can still salt with its shell on, and it gets to the seed, because they're thinner.
It's on a shell.
But I know
that's
true.
Like it's
whole
sunflower. That's weird. They grow them from their stomach. Huh? Really? Okay, we're not going to talk about what goes on in the White House stays in the White House. There you go. Okay, but that's the now. There's a Tosfos, and this is the last source that I have here that I wanted to show you. In kalaf natal natoch yado chayav, says Rashi, in kalaf mitoch hashibulin, that you peeled it from the shibulin chayav, and this bothers the Tosfos. Why? Fetema achi, mekalfa l'rav debitayu kisi kisi. Mrs. Rav would peel barley. Kisi kisi haomer la'ayo demolim milelos me'er Shabbos. And what would happen? She would rub parched, I have to look this up, I know what this meant. Rub parched ears on Erev Shabbos. Because it was usher to do on Shabbos. Meaning, what are you allowed? I don't understand. Are you allowed to be kolef or not allowed to be kolef? Mrs. Rav, what would she do? She'd prepare something that was done on Erev Shabbos. So I don't understand. Are you allowed to peel or not allowed to peel? Mashmah b'Shabbos usher. Shabbos is usher, but that's why it had to be on Erev Shabbos. V'yish lomar. Dahata mayre litlosh min hashibolim. That's when you're being told less from the stalks themselves. That's mefarig. V'zeu toad de dadash, which is an av malacha. V'hachem mayre b'shekvar nitlosh yumer shabbos min hashibolim. You've already plucked it from the stalks. You'd be allowed to open up from the husk on Shabbos. Aval od hem beklipatan achitzona. Therefore, but they still have their outer shell. That's permissible. U'mashe perish rashi achim kav natal toch yadochem mishum shehu kava. This is if you're doing it kavua, right? Meaning, what does Rashi says that it's usher to do because you're peeling it in a much more, I guess, permanent way. You're maybe to store long term. And he argues on this with some of Mashmah Metam Benishahu Gomer Melacha Hov Hu Kolef Harbe Biyachet Ahainu Degana. So the Tosfos seems to suggest again the reason why for Rashi it's usher to do this is because it's this Gomer Melacha, which by the way, where is this done? Probably in the field. That's what probably Tosfos is suggesting. Again, we see that you can maybe do the same act in your kitchen and the same act on the field. One might be usher, one might be. The question is, what's your intent, right? And if your intent is to eat it right away, it could actually be permitted. Forget modern food consumption that. We don't do it in our house anymore. But in those days, the same act that you did in the field could be asr. If you do the same thing in your house and your intent is to eat it right away, that could be totally permissible to do. There are those who perhaps want to argue that. Others say, no, that outer shell is basically looked upon as asr because that's 95% on in the field. The fact that you do it in your house doesn't matter. It's still asr to do. But that middle shell, everyone agrees, is mutter to do because that's always done in your house, with the exception of maybe the last 5 years. Now that's not being done in your house anymore. And Tzarech Iyun, if in the modern era, it is permissible to do. I haven't done that much research into it. Not many will talk about it, but you could suggest that it could be also to do. Bizman Hazeh, that middle shell, because no one really does it anymore. Again, for certain types of nuts. Sunflower seeds and for... pistachios, I think those people still do. My question is, when it comes to pistachios, how come the shell is only, how do they open it a little bit? Is that done by the manufacturer or is that natural? Is that natural or is that manufacturer? And they're always salted.
I think it's from the manufacturer.
You think the way they heat it, it opens it up?
Yeah,
because no one likes the ones that are totally sealed. Those are annoying.
You just can't do it. Either break your nail, right. Whatever it is, but then... I'm pretty sure that they are completely sealed. And then they salt them and then like roast them in a sense.
And that kind of pops it open?
Yeah, pops them open. Because there are some that, you know, have like a tiny little slit open, but some that are wide
right.
open, or some that the nut even fell out of it. Right?
Yeah.
Right. What?
Those are good ones.
Yeah, everyone likes ones that are open. Ones that are not, you have to work much harder on.
Yeah.
But you would be allowed to open them on Shabbos. Do you find out the answer? Are they naturally that way?
According to Yahoo Answers, because they're roasted.
It makes sense to me that that it's the cooking or the roasted part of it. It's so funny that davka pistachios are given the suchos of being like roasted and prepared. Why pistachios? What about if you? It could be that if you tried to do that to other nuts, it wouldn't open them. Because pistachios are so much smaller.
It would be impossible to open them as well. For
Oh, come on. A walnut, you can't open at all. Walnut's even harder.
And what about something like, you know, a chestnut?
Isn't a chestnut like a walnut? No? Also hard to open. No?
Chestnut, I think, like, we roast them in order to open them, where, like, basically, you like, cut slits at the top. You put in, like, a microwave, and then it'll open it up. Because to do it, you know, with your hand, it's almost impossible.
Impossible. But this is, like, a lot of work.
All over Europe, wherever it is, they sell like roasted peanuts and also like roasted walnuts. Otherwise, you can't just eat, you know, walnut.
But it's peanuts, people don't like peanuts.
Is
different,
right?
I mean, you can't eat it; gotta remove it. But you could do it by your fingers.
But like to peel open chestnut is almost impossible.
Yeah.
And even a hammer, even it's too hard. Nutcracker.
Somewhat also cooking as well.
Because I think because the nut is too hard, and by cooking it even softens the nut. Like pistachios, the nuts are the pistachios too hard to eat unless they're. I don't know. We see all these things. We just assume we don't really know.
What? Wikipedia.
Oh, when they ripen on the tree.
Yeah.
Machlekes Google.
I mean, Yahoo Answers is not the most reputable.
It's not.
I mean, it's just some random guy. Like, there's no sources in it. Like,
go to Reddit. Isn't Reddit, like, the most reliable? Someone just told me about that. I just learned about Reddit. For everything. Okay. It's 5 to 11. That's in there for today. Just as a summary. So we spoke about removal of food from covering where it's grown. That creates ochel, as opposed to mitaken ochel. It's usually done in the sada, in the factory, in the field. And cracking open nuts, you know, even though really the notion of a nutcracker or a hammer should be totally fine to do, at least in the olden days was totally fine to do. Who knows? Maybe today it's not so simple if you're allowed to do such things because it's really much less common. Maybe you need to do with a shinui. I think peanuts, even if you want to tell me they're even less likely to be sold with their husks on them, you probably still could use a hammer or a nutcracker, but you might need to do it with a shinui. That also would be very helpful. If you need to use a nutcracker, even on a walnut, okay, maybe do it with a shinui. How exactly do it with a shinui would be a little complicated. Maybe in terms of nutcracker, use a hammer, which isn't as good. That might also be a way to do it with a shinui. Use your left. What? Right. So the question is it going to be this or might not be this? Oh, you're saying the hammer. Oh, a hammer, right. So, anyways, those were some of the shalas that are brought up. But everyone agrees that those light, those very thin things, like on the on corn, sometimes even have them. But on the chickpeas, those I think everyone would agree the hummus, chickpeas, yeah, hummus, yeah, would be okay to remove because most will even eat them, right? So, and again, as soon as a banana, everyone sells bananas with the peels on them. That's not considered mefarek because it's derech you really want to eat it now. Maybe that means you would not be allowed to open up a ton of bananas on Friday night to have it Shabbos day. But again, we would never do that because they would go bad. So that's one advantage. If there's a banana, you know, we would never do that. So again, most fruit, you don't really want to open early because they will go bad. Whether oranges, whether they're avocados, right? You know, they go bad. The moment they get open, the clock ticks. Something gets spoiled. Okay, that's all for today. Well, actually, we need to do one more. There's another component on the fart that I need to do, and that's with juices and liquids. That's also really important. both Gemara-wise. It's a whole sugya in the Gemara, and then we'll see what plays out. Also, very interesting, the modern era will alter in certain ways. No, alter is an immediate, I mean alter is an English word. It's ramifications.